You are listening to a sermon by Carl Brown, recorded on Sunday, September 7th, 2025, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
First of all, I didn't pick the verses today, the passages. They're out of the lectionary, the reading for this Sunday. And Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20, and Psalm, pardon me, and Luke 14, 25 to 33 are very much the same. It's God telling us, you know, pull up your socks, do the right thing, and you get to heaven. I'm going to be concentrating on Luke today rather than Deuteronomy. And Luke 14, 25 to 33. We're going to go through it almost verse by verse. Won't take long, but those verses are the kind of concentrated, and we're just going to spread them out a little bit. This passage, 25 to 33, is short, and it's about as clear as Jesus could make it for those people who were traveling with him. Now, the clarity might be a little muddled for us 2,000 years later because we're not part of that society, and the jargon and the common knowledge that was there, we don't share that. But the message is still clear. And as I said, it's not a long passage, and it's also a passage which is often preached on. I've heard a number of sermons on this passage, even in my own short life. Who's snickering? It's a short passage, so let's spend a little time on four of the key verses. Verse 25, the first verse, "Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them." One thing to remember here is that despite the popularity of Jesus and the large number of people walking with him, this traveling Jesus had no money of his own. We sometimes forget that. He depended on the support, the money, and possession of his followers, many of whom we believe to be women. That sets the stage. Verse 26, next one. "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciples." Now, this is a famously tough one for new Christians who are reading the Bible. But the bit about hating mother and father, etc., has been dealt with over the years through many sermons. And it's commonly accepted to mean hate as a comparative statement. You've all heard it, I'm sure. Hate by comparison. So the love you have for your dear mom is basically almost hate compared to the love that you should have for the Lord. So it's not real hate, it's just a comparative statement. Sort of a dramatic exaggeration to illustrate a point. Now, verse 27. This is still confusing to a lot of people. And the reason why is because of the time that Jesus was in, knew things that we don't or didn't think of. See, it's an odd verse. Whoever does not carry the cross. Well, Jesus hadn't carried the cross yet. He hadn't been crucified, so why is he talking about this? Well, this is one of those common bits of societal knowledge that everybody carried at the time. You see, at that time, everybody in society knew what this reference meant. Crucifixion, The method of public execution at the time involved as much pain and humiliation as the Romans could invent. One of the little details that the Romans used to make your last hours as unpleasant as possible was to make the victim carry his own instrument of torture, the heavy wooden cross, all the way to the site of his death. In other words, once you pick that sucker up, you're carrying it for the rest of your life, the rest of your short life. But everybody understood that. Pick up that cross and you're carrying it. You're going to die. We all die. But whoever is picking up that cross is going to be carrying it till he dies, till he's hung on. So that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, you follow me all your life. And just to illustrate that a little more, Jesus punctuated it with one of his favorite tools, which was the parables. He's got two of them. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate what it's going to cost, because if you fail, people will really ridicule you. In other words, think about it. Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider, you know, what he's got? In other words, you know, something dangerous here. You start this, you've got to finish it. So the message that Jesus wanted to convey with these parables was, don't accept me lightly. Don't accept Jesus lightly. If you want to follow him, it will require all of your determination and for all of your life. If you merely believe in him but fail to follow his commands, well, that won't get you into heaven. That's not following Jesus. And verse 33, that's our last one. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. That's another rough one for a beginning Christian. But again, just like the first verse, where Jesus was being dramatic and exaggerating things, if you think about it, well, you know, it sounds glorious and romantic to just walk out of your job and wander barefoot doing the work of the Lord. It's kind of romantic. However, that's not what he meant. If you remember back in our first verse, verse 25, Jesus was pursuing his ministry with the help, charity, and support of people who had money, houses, and possessions, mostly the women. Jesus wholeheartedly relied on these people with possessions so that he could do his work. So just like the phrase that we started with, hate, he was somewhat exaggerating in his choice of words. If we gave up all of our worldly possessions, we would be unable to do the little bit of work for the Lord that we can do. So to clarify, we can claim things as our possessions, but we cannot allow those possessions to claim us. When the Lord's work has need of our resources, we're supposed to give them up, and we should do so gladly. Now, Jesus wanted everybody present at that time to understand that a Christian requires purity of devotion, requires that we give our resources, and requires a lifelong conviction. Now, this church, which we laughingly and lovingly refer to as Pigameth, could only have been born out of just such devotion and conviction. This church has been kept alive by the devotion of ordinary people with an extraordinary faith. It has been guided, supported, and loved by people who carried the cross, who worked with lifelong devotion, just as the Lord requested. This church is strong, not just in belief, not just in love for each other, but strong in people who follow the commands of Jesus. When I talk with our guest speakers, they always tell me what an honor it is to be asked to speak here. This church has a reputation for strong, critical belief in the Lord and his commandments. As one speaker put it, you've got a reputation for being a tough audience. It's also a tough congregation. It's often said of churches that 10% of the congregation does 90% of the work. It's often true. Not here. In fact, in this congregation, it's very difficult to find a person who doesn't do at least two things. We have very nearly 100% commitment throughout the congregation. Providing the pulpit decorations, reading the Bible verses, routing wires through the walls, delivering flowers to the sick, making coffee, all these things, big jobs like setting up the Zoom equipment, and even little jobs like speaking. Everybody in our church chips in. It's an unusual church because it is blessed with unusually strong Christians. We went through COVID, which blessed us with the reinforcement of the fact that the church is not the building, it's the people. And we spent our years wandering in the wilderness, not knowing when or where we would next meet to worship God together. It wounded our church, yes, but in the end, I believe that we are even tougher now. It's our church anniversary today. And like I said, the church is not the building, it's the people. We love the Lord and we support each other. Our following of the Lord is strong. Our little church is tough. It has picked up the cross and found it not heavy. Praise the Lord.